Hare Krishna, today is Saturday, 17th November 2012. I welcome you to the Bhagavad Gita class. We will first start with the invocation. Please chant with me. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः नमो विष्णु नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा महयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतिता नाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे आई थॉट वी विल हैव ए रिविजन ऑफ व्हाट एवर वी हैव डन अप सो फार क्विक रिविजन सो दैट फ्रॉम नेक्स्ट सैटरडे नेक्स्ट क्लास आई वांट टू स्टार्ट फ्रॉम चैप्टर वन यू नो देन एज अवर प्लान वाज आई विल बी टेकिंग यू थ्रू ऑल द 18 चैप्टर्स one by one. So every week we will have not the full chapter, maybe one third, one fourth, depending on the size of the chapter. So we'll be dividing them in different sections, and that way we will try to cover 18 chapters maybe in something like 30 weeks. And in the next phase we will have shloka by shloka, you know, those who are still interested to continue, don't want to learn it a little more in depth, then we'll really go after each shloka. So today, as I said, we will try to quickly recap whatever we have learned so far, and then maybe I will send you a small objective test questionnaire which you can fill in and, you know, see whether you are on the right track. So if you remember, first we started with a distinction between men, human beings, and animals. And we concluded that we are different from animals only in one way, which is using our discretion. Using our discretion to discuss about God, to discuss about who we are, from where we have come, you know, all these inquiries. So the discrimination, discretion and inquiry, these are the two which makes us separate from the animals. Otherwise animals are doing the same thing that we are doing. Namely, sleeping, eating, mating and defending. These are the four activities they do and we also do, but then we do something more. That's why we are different. So that's where Bhagavad Gita came into picture. And we said that it's a manual for a human machine, you know. It's a manual which we, if you follow, then we can use this machine better. Our body is like a machine. Okay. Then we discussed the three methods of learning, you know, the Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana and Shabda Pramana. So we learned the pros and cons of each one of them, the direct perception, inference, and then hearing from the authority. And we concluded that hearing from the authority is the best method to learn the spiritual subject matter. And then if you remember, we also discussed the two different methods of learning, ascending method or descending method. Ascending meaning we ever try ourselves, our own endeavors. And descending is just hear from the authority. And we saw the differences between the two, how ultimately it is a descending method which is far superior because of the authoritative seal on that, you know. We can't keep on experimenting every time. We have to depend on some authority. Then why should we accept a Shabda Pramana, hearing from authority? So there are some of the few things. First of all, the Vedic literature not made by human beings. Apaurusheya, we discussed that how the literature is Krishna spoke, Sri Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So it's not some human being or something like that. And then some of the things, you know, like why Vedas are superior. That so many things which Vedas talk hundreds and thousands and millions of years back is being now confirmed. You know, like in the Europe it was 500 years back, they said earth is flat. They said if you keep on walking, you may fall off, so don't go to the end of the earth. But we always said that Bhugol, you know, everybody had this subject, geography, and that is a translation from Bhugol, earth is round. Seven continents, you know, Einstein gave the theory of relativity, and Kukudmuni gave it almost 5,000 years back. And the Srimad Bhagavatam describes conception of birth and child, you know, in a very, very detail, when the life comes, how it grows, how many months, how the limbs are made, and everything is there. And then Vedas establish that even plants have life, you know, that's why we don't, even when we kill the plants, we take some karma. But then of course when we offer it to Krishna, then Krishna takes away that. The Vedas claim there are living entities even in fire. You know, so everywhere, now they are going to Mars, here, there, they are talking of so many things, you know, but it's already there. Then incarnations, predictions, you know, who will come when, everything is there. See, Buddhas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhus, Chandragupta, Ashoka, Chanakya, everything is there in the Bhavishya Purana. Talks about Jesus, Muhammad, and finally, the Vedas talk about absolute knowledge, and that's what we are trying to learn, absolute truth, absolute knowledge. And that's why it is very, very important to follow this. Then we discussed about the importance of Bhagavad Gita. Shripa Shankaracharya, he talks in Gita Mahatmya about, you know, Gita. Maline mochanam pumsham jalasnanam dine dine sakrat Gita mratasnanam samsara mala nashanam. You remove your dirt every day by taking bath, but when you bathe in the nectar of Bhagavad Gita, then all your things are finished, you know, all the bad things are over, inauspicious things get away. And then he compares Gita to like a cow, and Krishna as Gopala is milking the cow, Arjuna is just like a calf, and scholars or devotees are drink this nectarian milk. So this is from Gita Mahatmya. Okay. And then of course Shankaracharya declares that let there be only one scripture, one God. Who is this? Son of Devaki. Let there be only one mantra, Harinam. Let there be one work only. And what is that? Service of the Lord. So this is all given by the great acharyas. Okay. Then we try to understand, how do you understand Bhagavad Gita? Is it real or symbolic? Understand it as it is. The goal of Gita is Lord Krishna. Is it relevant today? Gita is a science. Word of Lord is as good as the Lord. And then finally, spoken on the battlefield. I'm just going quick so that we can cover everything what we studied so far. And then I'll try to just sum it up for our preparation for the chapters. Okay. So then we understand that these are the requirements for Bhagavad Gita, to learn Bhagavad Gita, then from whom you learn. And it says, Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva bhigachet samit panih strotriyam brahmanishtham. In order to learn the transcendental science, one must submissively approach a guru who is coming in disciplic succession and is fixed in the absolute truth. This is important. You know, there are so many teachers of Bhagavad Gita like me. But I on my own have zero knowledge. You know, I don't claim that I know everything. I don't know everything. But what I am doing is I am just repeating what I have heard from my guru, which he heard from his guru, which his guru heard from his guru, like that. So it's a parampara, guru shishya parampara. So if it is somebody speaks in that means he is not putting his own thoughts into it. Putting your own thoughts is good, but not trying to interpret it whimsically, you know, in his own way. And they're trying to justify that, yes, what he's saying is truth. As long as you follow the tradition, the chain, then you are safe. So this is one thing we must always remember. Okay. And then, after this, we came to conclusion that to understand Bhagavad Gita, like any other subject matter, we require a teacher. And at the same time, if I have to learn something, then I must also be qualified to learn. You know, I must have some qualification, I must have some requirement. Like, you know, in these classes what I am having now, I am very liberal. So many people told me that you should be strict. If you don't attend classes for 3 times in a row, no information, no excuse, then that person should be removed, because that means it shows that he is not sincere about learning. In the sense, sometimes you may be sincere, but there are priorities are different, you know. Let's put it that way. So, unless you give priority to this, you'll never learn. That's all. You'll never learn, because then other things take over. You know, you want to learn, then we have to give priorities. So, then we understand that there are some requirements for a guru. I mean, qualifications. Right? Let me go quickly through this. Okay, these were some of the qualifications we discussed. You already seen all this, I'm just trying to recap. Because some people keep joining and then want to know what happened in the past. Should be engaged 24/7 in devotional service. That means all their activities should be either direct devotional service or indirectly it is supporting some devotional service. Not that you are a part-time teacher. For a guru I am talking, as teacher and a guru there is a slight difference. This guru I am talking is who is going to take you back to your original home. That means he is going to guide you through and through. That's the guru I am talking about. Not that somebody comes, gives a class and then you are gone. Should come in disciplic succession. See, that's a nice picture above. We are going to follow one of the commentaries of Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Then here you see his guru is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his guru is God Kishwardas Babaji Maharaj, his guru is Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his guru is Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and like that it goes back, goes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then before him it goes to Madhvacharya, then finally it goes to Lord Brahma and then Krishna. So original source is Krishna. So the link has to go back. I give the example of the powerhouse. If you want power in your house, all the lines back to powerhouse must be connected. Otherwise, however good your equipment may be, you're not going to get light. Okay. Should speak on the basis of scriptures only. Everything you speak, all the examples you give, examples in the sense, all the proofs, pramana you give should be based on scriptures. It should be supported by scriptures. Not, that's why you know that the apaurusheya, that thing has to continue. Again, based on that and also present them as it is, as they are, you know. Don't try to twist and turn and, you know. And that's why I give that example of Bhagavad Gita written by Srila Prabhupada is called Bhagavad Gita as it is, as Krishna told Arjuna. Should I have his senses under control? No doubt, even if you are not a guru, your senses must be under control. So for a guru, definitely. Otherwise, people will lose faith in the whole guru system. That's what is happening in many, many places, you know. Because the guru is not following, he becomes a self-appointed guru sometimes. Sometimes some people come and start telling him that you are a guru, so he thinks, okay, yes, maybe I am really a guru. So like that, you know. Should be willing to impart spiritual knowledge. Because otherwise, why you want to become a guru? If you want to keep everything to yourself, then you can be on your... you can do it yourself. You don't have to be a guru. You don't have to tell anybody. Should teach the disciple as per his level of understanding. His level of understanding. That means disciples' level of understanding, not guru's level of understanding. You know, like for example, in a kindergarten, the teacher goes to the lowest level to make the child understand, you know. So, I remember one time Srila Prabhupada, somebody was talking about mathematics, that it is this and that. The Prabhupada says, well, so simple. He called a small boy and he says, okay, how many, there are two cows and two goats. So, how many are there? You know, they say, okay, two, and he says, you count. So 1, 2, 3, 4, like, you know, just make it simple. And the child understood immediately, oh, two goats and two, then it becomes like four, like that. Should have a positive attitude, very important. Should not be biased. No special favors. No special favors or discriminating against somebody, you know, okay. Oh. He is coming, he's from a higher family, his father pays me more donations, so I should take care of him more, something like that. No. Should be ready to chastise a disciple when he sees something wrong. Absolutely. Otherwise, don't become a guru if you want to be only good, good, good all the time. Guru means heavy. Should not accept disciples to get some monetary benefits from them. Should bring joy and happiness in disciples' life. Should be able to dispel spiritual doubts. Take that disciple back to Godhead. No addiction. Should live a life in goodness, sattva guna, spotless character. And finally, he should protect the disciple. Protect from bad elements, from bad association. Okay, and then same way there is a requirement for disciple. We saw the guru, now we should see the disciple. We also have some responsibilities, requirements. Okay. Again, should I have all the respect for the guru and his instructions? Should be ready to obey the orders of the guru without discrimination. This is the most important factor in a guru-shishya relationship. No discrimination. Don't take the order. You can use your intelligence to execute the order. You know, Krishna has given you intelligence. Use it properly. But no discrimination or saying, oh, maybe the guru is telling wrong, you know, so I don't have to follow it up. Then why you have a guru? If guru is telling wrong, that means you have done something wrong in the beginning in accepting the guru. But once you accept, then no discrimination. Just follow it. Because guru will never give you an order which is going to harm you. If he's a real bona fide guru. That's the point. Okay. Should serve the guru in every way. Materially, physically, monetarily, whichever way, you know, serve him, because most of the gurus, or the guru is not supposed to be, we already saw that he should not be in some business or something, you know. If he's totally depending on the disciples and is taking care of the disciples, then the disciples should take care of the guru equally. Very humble and submissive way. That's the way to learn. You can't be arrogant with the guru. You can't, you know, like these days, unfortunately, there is a lot of talk about friendship, etc., which is good up to a point. But if you become too familiar, you know, then that respect will slowly go. Then you will take it as a frivolous thing, you know. Joking around, you know, keeping your hands on his shoulders and talking very loose. Same way, you should never challenge, you know, your question should never be in a challenging mood. Very dangerous. Because the flow will stop. The flow will stop. You know, there's a kettle and there's a spout. You're pouring water. The flow is there. If you put something to block that, the flow will stop. So same way, the knowledge is flowing from guru to shishya. But if the shishya is not okay, creating problems or challenging, then the guru will say, okay, he doesn't want to learn anymore. Simple. No addictions for guru, no addictions for shishya. That's why in our society we have some do's and don'ts when we want to progress. I don't want to discuss that here. Ready for chastisement, because that is how you will improve. You know, I remember, you know, of course I am giving an example of a material situation, but that same applies. Or I will give a spiritual chastisement. Let's do that. You know, we were making we made some van for our guru, and I was coordinating the activity. There were other devotees with me, and we had to travel from Bangalore to Coimbatore many times to get the things done. You know, we are converting it in for his travel, because he goes to Bangladesh and preaches there for, you know, months together. So when this all was done, at one point I started giving you know, some because he was asking some technical questions, and I'm a mechanical engineer, so he asked me in that mood, he knew that, and I started sort of, you know, arguing about certain point, you know, whether the battery runs the AC, or, you know, battery or the dynamo runs, or something like that was there. It's a long old story. The point is, he immediately chastised me. And he saw that I was going like that, and he just said, and everybody else was under intention, you know, oh, our leader is getting chastised like that. But since I was trained by him, I just took it in my stride, you know, and I was just, and very next moment we are talking as if nothing ever happened, you know, like. So he understood that his message has reached me, and I understood that I had got the message and I should keep my mouth shut. Doesn't matter whether you are right or wrong, you know, don't hurt you. And that's what, this is what I'm saying. Because this is a system, this is an etiquette. Not to open your mouth in front of the Guru and keep on blah 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 like that. Okay. Of course, then we saw Shishya, I mean, dedication to be near Guru, no personal ambition. Yeah, this is another interesting thing. Should be like child in front of Guru. Student should be always like a child. That's the only way you learn. No testing, give up bad association, don't take Guru as a fashion. Should always praise, never talk loose. And then these eight characteristics: patience, contentment, purity, earnest endeavor, noble thoughts, absence of greed, absence of envy. Protect Guru's teachings. See, the relationship starts only when he accepts you, the Guru. So this is how we accept a Guru and become qualified to accept a Guru. And then we discussed about who is God? Remember? Who is God? Why should we accept Krishna as God? Then the six... Okay, let me see if I have that slide. Yeah. Who is God? Omnipotent, omnipresent, supreme controller, cause of all causes. Nobody is equal to or greater than him. And the definition, Bhagavan. Bhaga means opulence, Van means owner. So Bhagavan means one who owns opulences. There are six: most beautiful, most powerful, most knowledgeable, most rich, most famous, most renounced. And why Krishna can be considered as Bhagavan? Source of everything, source of all qualities, supreme father, fountainhead of all incarnations, source of all devatas, supreme knower, knows past, present and future. Then we talked about religion. You know, that how we understand religion, and we concluded that religion is nothing but essential characteristic, right? Like religion of sugar and religion of fire, we saw that. Anyway, so we saw the similarities and we saw the dissimilarities in the religion, you know, and also understood the religion as it should be understood. And then finally we discussed about the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. Everything is based on that. ఈశ్వర జీవ ప్రకృతి కాల కర్మ దీస్ ఆర్ ద ఫైవ్ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్స్ సో అండ్ అగైన్ వీ ఆల్సో డిస్కస్డ్ ద త్రీ స్టేజెస్ సంబంధ అభిధేయ ప్రయోజన్ రిలేషన్షిప్ ప్రాసెస్ అండ్ అచీవ్మెంట్ దట్స్ హౌ ద హోల్ లైఫ్ ఈజ్ ఎవ్రీ టైమ్ యాజ్ ఐ సెడ్ యూ హవ్ టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ దీస్ త్రీ థింగ్స్ ఓకే సో దిస్ వే వీ హవ్ కమ్ ఐ హోప్ ఐ గాన్ వెరీ ఫాస్ట్ టుడే ఐ నో దట్ బట్ ఐ నో ఐ వాంటెడ్ టు టేక్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ టు కన్సిడరేషన్ బికాస్ యూ ఆల్రెడీ గాన్ త్రూ ద వీడియోస్ ఆర్ దేర్ ద ఆడియోస్ ఆర్ దేర్ టేక్ అడ్వాంటేజ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు సెండ్ యూ ఏ ఆబ్జెక్టివ్ టెస్ట్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ దీస్ సో ప్లీజ్ బి రెడీ అండ్ నౌ ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు స్టాప్ హియర్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ క్వశ్చన్ కామెంట్ యూ కెన్ టేక్ దట్ అప్ థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ హరే కృష్ణ